All right, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3. And there's an interesting passage here. It has to do with the judgment seat of Christ and that kind of thing. And I want to kind of get the context, but I want really the verses I'm looking for is 13, 14, and 15. But I'm going to read down to that. From verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. That verse bears out the fact that not everybody in Christ is at the same place. There isn't, you know, you get saved and you instantly know. If you were in the kingdom message, you would instantly know. Let me show you. Go to 1 John. It wouldn't be a matter. You would not be a babe and grow. You would instantly know. Go to 1 John 2, verse 20. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know what? You would instantly know all things from the moment you got the unction. Amen? Look down in verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man what? Well, the fact that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto babes in Christ. Well, come on. That tells me you need feeding and nurturing, and you need the word given to you, and you need to grow and admonish on that word just like a child and his parents. And so there is a growing period in grace. Does that make sense? You need to compare that to 1 John 2, verse 20 and 27 over there. Now, those people didn't have a growing period. It isn't a matter of that you need to study. You know, the Bible says, consider what I say, and the Lord will give the understanding in all things there in Timothy. Well, come on. You have to consider. You have to be fed. It takes a little bit to get this truth down. Amen? You know, at first, and Gene, you were kind of new to all this. Did you think we preached the same as your old church, or did you notice there was something different?
I noticed it was different.
Did you understand it really?
No, I was upset, torn, crazy.
Yeah, I think that's how most people, they're kind of in this torn, and they're not sure. And when you hear that, it takes a little while. I tell people, look, don't come to grace and spend... you come one time and spend 5 minutes. Come a little bit and you'll start to hear the difference. You'll start to learn the difference. And these people, Paul couldn't just give them everything right at once. You know, if you want the strongest meat, you know what night I preach that? Wednesday night. Why? Those people are obviously dedicated to coming. Now, we know Norm would be here. He's working, so he'd be here on Wednesday when he's in. But the realization is that they come on Wednesday. So I try to give the biggest meat then. Why? You can't give it to everybody. Some of those people are going to be absolutely confused. You know, I've had people say, well, my church preaches just like you. And I'm like, then I'm not doing a very good job. Obviously, you don't get it. You all understand? So back in verse 1 again, he says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Then that tells me there's advanced classes and baby classes, and you don't want to get the cart before the horse. You'll be here all week. Is that it?
All right.
I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto were you not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Now, they had been around a little bit, but they hadn't grown much, and he couldn't really give them the deep things that he wanted to give them. All he could do was give them milk. And maybe, Jackie, you're new, you know, maybe a little milk for you. But William sitting next to her, he's ready for a little meat. Where's my steak? And so as you preach, you want a little bit of spectrum of all of it. So if you come to all three sermons in a week, you'll get a little meat, potatoes, and bread and milk, you know? There'll be a little bit of everything for everybody. And I think even the children should be able to get some of this. I try to preach on a child's level. It's because that's where I am. You know, you got to find your own level in preaching. But he said, you know, I mean, you compare that. There was no growth. People talk about what is Christian growth. You know, that's a big deal today, isn't it? The Christian walk. You know, the Christian walk isn't about a walk. It's about a doctrine that you're following. And illustration is baptism, the Lord's Supper, and on and on. I know some grace believers that if you took the Lord's Supper away, they would literally flip up north. I mean, they would have a cardiac arrest. What? You can be saved without the Lord's Supper? Yeah, you know, it's amazing. You mean you can be saved without baptism? Yes, you can. There are a lot of people that don't believe you can be saved without baptism. And that you couldn't take the Lord's Supper without being saved, and that you need to take it if you are saved. And all those carnal things, people, and you know, Brenda says, I'm a little rude at the pulpit sometimes. She says, people don't get your jokes. Well, then they're stupid. They're stupid. You know, my mama, you say stupid is and stupid does. That dumb. Well, come on. If they don't get it, it's because they don't understand grace. Relax, everybody. Take a deep breath. It's grace. Gloaters can get in. Verse 3. For ye are yet carnal. For where there is among you envyings and strives and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Hey, listen, God didn't call us to have a bunch of bickering and backbiting and, oh, I do this and I do that and create division. You know, that's just pride. You know what I've learned? I'm about 99.9% right. Now, I'm wrong a little bit. I can admit that 0.1%. That's one of them jokes Brenda said. They just don't get that when you say that. They really believe you think you know it all. I do. Listen, I can handle the denominational system with one half of the brain tied behind my back. I'm the only grace preacher that can do that. There's divisions. Listen, lighten up. You know what I've learned in my 25 years of being saved? I don't know very much. I watch these guys and they pull their swords out like, hey, I know something. And they come running. And Brother Moore, you said, don't rush hell with a water bucket. You know, hey, you may not have it all. There's a growing process. You know where I am? I'm in the middle of my growing process. I'm not done yet. For one saith, I'm a Paul. Another one, I'm Apollos. Are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted and Apollos watered, but God gave it. You know what? Listen, there's a Bible conference in Deedsville. How many's going to be there? Everybody in here ought to be there. Preston, you ought to come up too. It's up at Sean Richard's church. You need to come. You know why? You're going to get fed. Why? Somebody may give you a little bit different angle you never thought about. And you go, wow, I never thought about that. You know, I should think about that a little bit. You know what I'm saying? When I go to Bible conferences, Larry, he was so funny up in Chattanooga. This guy preached this message that I've been preaching for years. And he said he explained it better than you. Well. I guess. Where did you first get it there, Bubba?
It seems like they used your message as a model for the rest of the service.
You know, but what I'm trying to say is he did a good job. The man did a good job preaching that message. And he added some things that added a little flavor to it. that even helped me. I mean, I'm still learning. What am I trying to tell you? That there isn't anybody. You're constantly building on the foundation. And what happens is, what the worst thing you can become is apathetic. You can just get kind of lazy and lackadaisical to your studies and to your doctrine and to witnessing and to all those things. And all of a sudden you start drying up. Listen, God didn't call us to complacency. He didn't call us to average. He called us above average. We ought to be involved in supporting a ministry financially, physically, whatever way we can to get the Word of God out. I mean, that's just the way it is. Oh, hi. Got to balance this out a little bit. A few more and we'll get this side fixed. Well, everybody adds. When I'm gone, you know, people say, well, Terry's preaching. I'm not going to show. Well, you ought to show up. Terry might have just the word that you need to fit into that puzzle, or Mac may have that word that fits into that puzzle that you absolutely need that you would never get from me. These people are being encouraged to grow. I mean, you know, anybody ever plant other than Brenda and I? Brenda and I do this all the time. We plant and we forget to water. And I can tell you, you plant and you forget to water, guess what? It don't grow. I bought them topsy-turvy things, and you saw that? It's a con job. Do not get a zoom on here, buddy. Bring it in close. Do not buy the topsy-turvies. I got four. Cost me $10 each. The hanging stuff, ready for this? Cost me about $60 to get it all set. Plants, everything. I got one tomato that big. Oh, this thing will grow bushels. How come I only got one that big? And my vine looked like this. Well, at first, but then we got discouraged because, you know, you water one vine and you're going, that ain't coming on good. And I got two cucumbers. Ready? We did? Okay. Oh, well, we had four. So altogether, those were about $10 each. Don't get the topsy-turvies. But, you know, you live and learn, you know, you kind of grow. But you don't plant unless you're willing to water. It takes a lot of water. The planting took one day. You know how much the watering took? Every day after that. Why? It won't grow.
They got too much water.
We drowned ours.
I was always wet when I left your business.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's right. I watered on you. Well, and that's a good example. Jim came in to sell me paper when I had a printing business. We're printing for you know. Anyway, I'm trying not to get you fired. I was printing for Evangel Tim. Jim come in and say, hey, here's some of my barbecue sauce. It's good. Hey, well, you want to buy some paper? I said, yeah, but let's talk Bible. And we'd go in and get on this board at the old church. And we'd spend 2 hours, and he said, well, I got to go make a living. Glory's working really hard without me. I would water him. You came 6-8 weeks selling us paper, and then all of a sudden started coming. That's how a lot of people are, because they need that little bit of watering along the way to kind of go, oh, there is something here. I mean, Tony even told me he drove by twice to look at the church. I wasn't getting a lot of water, but, you know, he thought he'd come by and get the fumes.
But I got the water on him.
That's right. You put a little water on him. And he's grown. Look at him. He's not growing much hair, but he's growing.
Water won't help that, brother.
Yeah. Trust me. That's why he takes 4 showers a day. You can't grow without water. But hold it. They didn't need water in the kingdom message. Once they got saved, they had it all. You understand? Now, they could lose it, but they had it all. And you, on the other hand, when we talk about Christian growth, is about studying this book and getting the doctrine down in the book so that you can speak correctly about what's going on in the book. It's a lot less fun than focus on the family. Yeah, I mean, think about it. That's what all the churches are preaching. You don't have to preach the Bible to preach focus on the family. All you have to have is psychology. You don't need the Word of God. And that didn't tell you how to baptize and how not to baptize. It didn't tell you whether you should or you shouldn't. It didn't tell you whether you should walk the aisle or not. That's none of that. So it doesn't deal with doctrine. So you don't really have to study your Bible. And you can listen to a sermon on focus on the family and go, man, wasn't that a great sermon? Because you don't have to be responsible to the doctrine thereof. But with the Word of God, you do. And thus the development. So he says in verse 6, he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything. Amen? Am I anything? No, I'm nothing. Neither is he that watereth. Is the other guy that's preaching anything? No. But God that giveth the increase. He's something. See, listen, God can put the... You know what? I've watched people come in this church, and they'll sit down, and they'll get under conviction. And they think it's my personality that is driving them crazy. They do. They think, well, Barry's just, he names this and says that about this and that. They don't understand it's the Holy Spirit and they're under conviction. And they don't feel comfortable here. How many here has ever come, before they got saved or whatever, and they felt uncomfortable? That's conviction. Those are things going on. The Holy Spirit is bearing witness. So you don't feel good necessarily. You feel uncomfortable. Well, I want you to feel comfortable. That's why we bought the nice padded chairs. Why we paid for the air condition when it works. That's why we did all that. But the reason people feel uncomfortable is the preacher. Do you know what? They'll leave right before they get it. They'll leave right before they get it. They won't stick long enough to get it. How many times have we seen that, Larry? Tons of them. Terry, how many times? Lots. Right before they get it. And you know, it reminds me of that parable in Matthew. You know where the sower goes out to sow? What happens? Well, on the wayside. What happened to the ones on the wayside? The birds came and devoured them. Who's the bird? Satan. And then he throws some into thorny places. What happened? They got choked. What were the thorns? The cares of the world pulled them away from the truth. And that parable is true. But the sower really didn't care about the ones being eaten by the birds. And people say, do you care whether people get saved? Look at me. No. I cannot save anyone in here. It isn't my job. I don't care if you get saved. If you're dumb and reject it, you should go to hell. Amen? I cannot save you. It is God that gives the increase. God is the Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one that hung on the cross, He is the one that saves you, not me. I get the great opportunity of preaching it. But I can't save you. I've heard Brother Moore say many times, Steve Atwood once came to him. He was at a Bible conference. And Steve preached. Listen to me. You say, you can't preach lost? They do it all the time. Steve came up and said, Brother Moore, I'm lost. And Brother Moore crossed his hands. And he said, Steve, you've been preaching the gospel up there all day. But he had never trusted the gospel. You all understand? I mean, I can teach a parrot to mimic the words, Christ died for your sins. A parrot can do that. A parrot can't trust Jesus Christ, though. A parrot can't admit that he's lost. A parrot won't say, man, I was out lusting after that other parrot. Ah! No way. Says she was hot. Ah! Polly wanted a cracker until he saw her. No way. But I can teach that bird to say Christ died for my sins. You all understand what I'm saying? Listen, the men that preach are nothing. We're no people look at us and say, man, you're great, you're a doctor. Baloney. I'm a piece of failure. I'm a sinner that is barely able to get up and find the Bible. Oh, I'm Mr. Joe Christian. Well, you probably aren't. You've probably been faking it. Amen? Most of us have faked it. Well, look at me. I study my Bible. Whoop-dee-doo. Look in 1 Corinthians 4, I think it is. We'll come back to 3 in just a minute. Verse 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? You know how much of this stuff I received? Here, let me give you 100% of it. Did you get that? I mean, it's going to be funny. You'll get down there 4 or 5 years in your life and you'll be studying the Bible and you'll think you discovered something. You probably heard it somewhere in the past and you just now got it. He says, for what maketh thee to differ from another, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it?
Well, I've never heard a grace preacher preach on this.
Well, then you probably ought not to be preaching it. Amen?
No, that was a good sermon.
It stepped on some toes. But it was a good sermon. Not because I preached it, but because Micah and Dan and all those guys did it.
Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
Verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything or he that watereth. Why? They all got it from someone else. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. I'd put that in my Bible. It isn't something that you just, I discovered this.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 4, 7. Isn't that what I said? Okay.
Now he that planteth and he that watereth are what? Are we trying to accomplish the same thing? Yes. And every man shall receive of his own reward according to his own labor. For we labor together with God. For ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Are you going to lay the foundation? It's already laid. You're not going to run out and start something new. You know, people say, well, I've discovered something new in this Bible. I'd run. You read stuff like Bullinger and Sir Robert Anderson and those men of God, and you realize you probably don't have as much intelligence as you think. How many here has ever read the Mystery of Two Babylons? Or parts of it, and you don't really read it as a book? That guy knew what he was talking about, amen? Footnote after footnote after footnote. I have never seen a better documented book in all of my Bible studies than that one. How many here has read The Gleamings of Genesis? Gosh, you got to read that. I mean, guys, there's just things you need to read. It'll open up your brain. Write this down, Gleamings of Genesis by Sir Robert Anderson. And it's just so important to read. Gleanings from Genesis. Gleanings from Genesis by Sir Robert Anderson. And then when you get done with your copy, instead of stealing it out of my library over here, please bring it and drop it off.
Where is it? I've looked for, but I can't find it.
Someone's already stole my copy.
You can check it out in my library.
Oh, it's probably in his library. Huh? What? They got a PDF. Well, that's what you want to read. It's a PDF on the internet. Yeah, I'm just telling you, you know, you start to realize that we aren't very intelligent. I believe Satan has used the educational system to dummy us down so we're not good students of the Scriptures. Those guys, you read Bullinger, and you would love Bullinger because he, well, you may not. I don't know how much you love diagramming sentences. But Bullinger is the absolute best at diagramming sentences I've ever seen in all of my English, and I'm not even good at English. I can't even hardly read. Y'all understand? That Bullinger knew how to mark those things down. He even figured out how, through the atomic weight, that you could show Christ. Does anybody know what the atomic weight of nitrogen is? Bullinger knew. You think you're smart? You think you're intelligent? Then there are people a lot smarter than me. People go to the Bible conference, and they're always comparing preachers. And Deborah's great. She said, man, you're the best. Up until that guy got up, and then he said, well, I think you've got competition. I'm like, Deborah, you're leaving me. There's always going to be someone better than me. Brother Moore used to say this. He says, you can preach the gospel better than me, but you can't preach a better gospel than me. Y'all understand? See, the idea is to get the truth out. You know, I always laugh at Greg Allen. I mean, we got men that are so much more capable of preaching than Greg Allen. But you know what Greg Allen went and did? He went and did it. He got on the internet and started to create a stir through these videos on YouTube. Let me tell you guys, go out and get her done. Go talk to your bosses and your friends and your stuff. You're afraid they're going to fire you? Hey, God will find you another job. I'm just telling you, just keep going. Don't give up. But don't sit there and say, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah. Come on, let's have a little tea and coffee. Whip out the Word of God and start teaching these people the things you learn, and that's when you'll see a difference in your life. You know what? Your personal study means nothing. Zero. Zero. Your personal study means nothing if you don't share it with anybody. When was the last time, honestly, that you cracked open the book with somebody and said, let me show you what it is I believe and why? That's what we're talking about. When you do that, when you start to do that, you know what? You're going to start to grow in grace. When you crack open the Word of God and said, let me show you, you know they're going to say, you're nuts! What are you saying? You're nuts! Stupid is as stupid does. No, I mean, you know what? And then you say, well, okay, why don't you show me what you... Well, I can't. Break is over. I got to go. You know what? I know what I believe in the Word of God. I know why I believe it. And I know why, what caused me to believe it. And I'm not shy. My senior year when I got saved, I was a senior in college. I met Brenda. My life changed. My goodness me. That senior year, I got saved August 24th, and school started August 28th, or that next Tuesday. It was a Thursday I got saved. Whatever the date was, Tuesday was the first day. Man, I had my Bible. All right, let's go to the rat keller at the UWF. Okay. I'd sit there, and I'd whip open my Bible, and I'd start to preach. And before you know it, in about 6 weeks, not one person of my friends would come and sit with me. I had to write a paper. What did you do for the summer? Well, I trusted the Lord. And some of them stayed my enemies for years. And these were best friends that I grew up with. It's because I loved them so much, I wanted to share them the joy that I had in Christ. I didn't want them to go to hell. I mean, it just amazes me. You know, we don't even mention this to our kids. We're afraid, oh, it might cause a division. Yes, it's going to cause a division. Yes, it's going to cause conflict. Yes, there's going to be problems. Why? All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It isn't going to go smooth. So you sit down with your dad. I sat down with my dad and he threw me out. Said, Dad, let me show you what I believe in the Word of God. He said, get out of my house. And he did it every time I came and I opened my Bible. But you know what I never did? I never closed my Bible. I would rather be in absence of a father than to think I had witness to my father to make sure he's saved and going to heaven. Say, well, I love him. I don't want to get him mad at me. You don't want to get left out of the inheritance in that you love him. And if you loved him, you take the time and spend an hour or two with your dad and your mom and your sisters and your brother and say, let me show you what I believe. I'll never forget going down to Miss Holloway's house as a young man and a young preacher, and I was all excited and fired up, and I'd preach, and Wayne Holloway, their oldest son, said, don't you ever preach to my son. And I said, I love your son more than you do. You know why? I want to see him go into heaven and spend all eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm willing to separate my friendship with you to make sure your children get into heaven. You say you love your kids? And you don't witness to them? You don't spend the time opening the Word of God and bringing out the words to them? What's wrong? Say, well, we can talk about football. Yeah. How about NASCAR? Yeah, we can talk about NASCAR. Can you talk Bible? No. Well, I want to keep those lines of communication open. No, you don't. You're literally, by not witnessing, closing the lines of communication for eternity. That's what you're doing. You're not opening the lines of communication. You're pleasing your flesh. And you're doubting the power of the preaching of the Word. Your words are the capacity. You have the words inside of you that are saved here. Now listen to me. You that are saved have the capacity to spring forth as a well unto life. You have the spring in your mouth that when it flows out can deliver eternal life. You're it. You know how many people in churches today have that well of life? Not many. You've got it. And if you don't take it and share it, then what you're doing is damning them. Damning the flow. Say, well, they'll get mad at me. Okay, I'd rather them get mad at me and know that at least I tried. Can you imagine them at the judgment seat of Christ? And that's what this is all about. Can you imagine if Uncle Preston never witnessed to Mitch or Brett? And he's standing there? And the Lord says, you two angels, take him and cast him into hell. And Mitch or Brett looks back at Uncle P and says, why didn't you ever witness to me? Why didn't you ever spend the time telling me about this truth? You and Barry knew it, and you didn't share it with me. You wouldn't take the time to share it with me, and now I'm going to spend eternity in hell, burning forever and ever, and I'm never going to see the glimpse of day, and I'll never see the joy and the happiness of God ever, ever, ever again, because you didn't witness to me. Spend all that time watching football with me, Uncle P. Spend all that time fishing with me. But you never cracked the book with me. And we do that with our kids, our moms and our dads, and think, well, they're okay. My dad, I can tell you that when I first came out there, he was lost as a ball in high weeds. My sister, Mary, who's watching, good morning, Mary. Oh, by the way, I found the collar. It was in the bed, under the sheet. Preston found it. Mary, I'd go over and preach, and she'd just cry like a baby. Wah! you're trying to attack me. And I wasn't. I loved my sister Mary with everything. I love you more than you could ever know, Mary. I do love you. And you know that because I witnessed to you and Bill, and I tried to show you the truth of the Word of God, even though it may cost us our friendship. She went down to Brother Moore's church, and she heard the gospel, and she ended up trusting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, I wasn't the one that brought her to the... But you know what? I was one that planted, or one that watered, or one that tempered it along the way. And Brendan and I love Mary and Bill like you guys can't even imagine. They just came up. You all got to see them last week. I mean, they are just incredible, and they support our ministry. And they watch the internet, and they hand out internet flyers to get people to watch up in Memphis. And we have great fellowship. And you know what? For eternity, I know I'm going to spend eternity with my sister Mary. Isn't that great? But I wasn't the one that brought her to the Lord. But I was willing to stand up for it, so when she finally heard it, she could get saved. She'd been religious all her life. She'd gone to church probably more than all of us. But she was lost. Lost. I witnessed to my dad, witnessed to my dad, witnessed to my dad. And then Ralph Carson came by and handed him a book called Things That Differ. And all of a sudden, Dad saw it. Wow. He said, I read that book 5 times. Wow. Wow. I missed the boat. Wouldn't that be terrible going to church all your life and you missed the boat? All right, the rapture's happening. All right, I'm over here on this boat. Yeah, but that one ain't going. It's this one that's leaving. That's the Titanic. Y'all understand? Say, well, listen, witnessing and learning the doctrine so that you can sit down and say, let me show you what it is I believe. Isn't that the most greatest feeling in the world to be able to show finally what you actually believe in the Word of God? This is what I believe. Let me show you why I believe it. You know how many Christians can do that? I would doubt very many. All right, show me why you believe you need to be water baptized. Acts 2:38. Well, you got any other verses? No, that's the only one they use. Well, Mark 16:16. Is that all? Have you ever thought about looking up all the verses? No. I've never thought about that. No. Yeah, no, I hadn't thought about that. I just thought I'd go along. Are you sure you're going in the right direction? What's wrong? My batteries are dead?
Yeah, it seems like it. I'm getting
that strong. Yeah, we're good. Just turn it up. Crank it up. Look, if you will, in verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Now, I got to tell you, this is how I was always taught this verse. Tell me this of them. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what it is. And if it's wood, hay, and stubble, it burns up. Isn't that what you've been taught? I don't believe that. I believe that if you laid gold or silver or precious stone, wood, can wood survive the fire? Yes, it can. Can hay? Yes, it can. See, you need hay, people don't know this, to make bricks. You all know that? When they're making, the Mexican adobe, you mix straw in it. Say, well, will it survive? Listen, if it was built on the right foundation, it will survive. Say, well, I only got stubble to survive. Praise God for that. I don't believe that there's...
Your mic fell off. That's what it is. It's falling in your shirt.
That's funny.
Yeah, I had to get the camera and saw it in there. Why you didn't...
Always wanted to do that.
I knew something was going on.
I was preaching from my heart way down here. You're talking about the bowels of mercy. I was preaching from there. Sorry about that. You know, you got to admit, you haven't had this much fun going to church in a long time. Amen? Bronx, true? Most of those churches are stiff and stuffy. You ever notice that? All right, I got like 2 minutes. So I don't believe that wood, hay, stubble, you know, wood was used in the temple. Stubble is made to make mortar. Podium's wood. I don't think that that has anything to do with it, but I think it shows value of what you've done. You all understand? Gold's more than stubble. But you'll be glad to have some stubble left over, wouldn't you? And you know what it really comes down to? Because you're going to get a reward. Notice that he shall receive a reward. Did it say reward? A reward. How is it? Verse 14. If any man's work abide, which I believe all those are works up there, he shall, how he has built thereupon, he shall receive a what? I think that's clear. Amen? So you know what? You're not going to get a reward necessarily because you come to church. You're not going to get a reward just because you gave. You know, that's your ministry. And you were supposed to give $200 and you only gave $100, you know, that may not be all that good. Amen? If you were supposed to be here every, and you knew you could, but you don't, you may, well, how about, that's not that big of a deal. You know what the big deal is? Is when you're sitting with your kids and you're sitting with your family, are you opening the book and letting them see the truth? You know what our commission is to the church? To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Well, you can't make them see without opening the book. It's impossible. And so with that, we're going to end the first sermon.